Welcome to African Catholic Voices, a podcast service of the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network. My name is Father Stan Chu Ilo. I'm your host today. African Catholic Voices is a forum where we celebrate our African and Christian heritage, where we bring important players, Africans, in Africa and in other parts of the world, to talk about their faith, their life, and how they're making a difference in the world. Sometimes we talk about the challenges that we face as a people and how so many people throughout the continent and elsewhere are saying to the darkness, we beg to differ, and making differences in their own ways. Today, we have with us a special couple and a family dear to me. And that's talking about Dr. Jude and Evelyn Dumfe. Welcome, Jude and Evelyn, to African Catholic Voices.
Thank you, Father Stan. Thanks for having us.
And as is traditional here, could you introduce yourself to our audience, Dr. Jude, and then your wife, Evelyn?
Thanks, Father Stan. Thanks for having us on your podcast. So I'm Jude Dumfe, and this is my wife, Evelyn Dumfe. So we are originally from Ghana. We live in LaGrange Park, which is in Illinois, here in the U.S. I'm a physician. I work at Gardner Hospital, and Evelyn is also a real estate agent, kind of a little bit of a background for us. And then with our kids, which we're going to get to in a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, could you share with us about your family life? How long have you been married, and how many in your family, and how is it going?
Yes. So we have a handful. So Evelyn and I have been married since 2016, and we have five kids. So it's never a dull moment. Yeah, sure. Just a little background. When Evelyn and I met, she had Bella, and Bella was 4 years old. And over time, I adopted Bella as my own child. And then we've also had four other children. So it's a busy household. But adding to,
yeah, no, it's never a dull moment. Yeah. Having a big family is such a blessing. Of course, also a lot of work. So we have to, we're always on the go and always ready for what's next.
Yeah. And the kids range from, Sabella is 14, and we have, Joachim, who is, 6, Celeste is 5, and we have Elsie, who is almost 4. And then Maximilian, who is 2, a bundle. Yeah.
And such a blessing to your family. And Evelyn, how do you juggle a full-time work and full-time mom? And Jude, you're a full-time doctor and a full-time dad. How do you guys juggle these multiple roles?
For me, I'll say it's really just by the grace of God. Jude and I are in Illinois, and we don't have, you know, as up until last year, we didn't have any family living here. Now my dad is actually here with us. But prior to that, we had no family. One thing that's been a big resource, for us is our church community, St. Francis Xavier, and, just overall planning in advance. So, you know, we can't get up and do things. We have to make sure that, it's on a schedule, and we try to stick to our schedule. Mm-hmm. For the most part, just plan in advance.
Mm-hmm. And it's, thankfully, even though I work full time, schedules are flexible. So with Evelyn, with real estate, she's kind of flexible in that sense. And then I, for over a year now, I've been working, nights. So that's more flexibility as during the daytime. And it's just working as a team has its challenges. You do what you can. Right now, thankfully, kids are quiet and supposed to be napping. That's why we're not hearing them. We hope it stays that same while we go through this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And like every family, your family has its own challenges. In many parts of Africa, there is the challenge of sickle cell. I know that I have had to bury so many children. When I was in the parish in my home country, Nigeria, who died from a sickle cell. And you're dealing or you dealt with, I don't know whether to put it in the past or if it is ongoing, but one member of your family had this condition. Could you share with us how you coped with this reality? And especially when you discovered that this condition, that your daughter had this condition, and how it has been with your family so far?
Yeah, I'll just a little bit bigger, and then we'll kind of go into a little bit more detail. So Bella, who is 14 now, had sickle cell at birth, and Evelyn was a carrier, and Bella's biological dad was a carrier, and subsequently she had sickle cell and had the complications related to that, and over time, thankfully, had a bone marrow transplant at Johns Hopkins back in 2015, and had a successful transplant and was cured with that. And we've kind of gone through that process, but I'll kind of let Evelyn share a little bit about maybe the early, when Bella was diagnosed, kind of some of the early symptoms initially. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Bella was born in the state of New York. And at the time, the state of New York required newborn screening, you know, pregnant, after she was born. So that's how we found that she had, sickle cell. Prior to that, I was, in fact, I didn't even know what sickle cell was until I was, you know, pregnant with her. That's when I found out that I had trait, and, her biological father at the time also had the trait. We were told that there was a 25% chance that she would be born with sickle cell. And at the time, I was so relaxed about life, but 25% chance of, I mean, it looks like the odds are on our side, so we'll be okay. And unfortunately, when she was born, she was sickle cell. So she had her first crisis when she was 6 months old. We were sleeping. She woke up just screaming, and her fingertips were just really enlarged. And we took her to York. I lived in York, Pennsylvania at the time. We took her to York Hospital, and it turned out that she was having a sickle cell crisis. At the time, our little town, the physician, the attendant physician who was on staff, didn't really know much about sickle cell. So I remember him being on the phone with Hershey Medical Center, taking instructions over the phone on how to care for my child. And so that became my reality at 6 months old. And from there, I kind of decided that my little town, York, Pennsylvania, at the time was not a place that I wanted to seek care for her. So I did a lot of research and found out that Johns Hopkins Hospital in Maryland, which at the time was about 50 minutes away from where we lived, they had a better chance at care. She had a better chance at, you know, being given care over there than in York, Pennsylvania. So when she was about a year and a half, her sickle cell disease became so grave that they put her on monthly blood transfusions. Bella and I will travel from York, Pennsylvania to Maryland for her to get blood transfusions. And the transfusions took about 2 days. We will go in the day before the actual transfusion for her to get blood work. We will stay at children's house, and then the following day, basically just do transfusion. During that period, I was told that it was this experimental bone marrow transplant, and if I wanted to, you know, give it a try. And I don't have a medical background, so I didn't really feel confident enough to move forward with the process. And then Jude came into our lives just before Bella actually turned 4 years old. And when Jude came in my life, I remember being very scared to tell him that Bella had sickle cell, because it's such a, the word that I would describe to describe it, such a death stamp. So I thought, man, I don't know this guy. You know, I like him enough to be dating him, but I don't know what his reaction would be like if I told him that Bella has sickle cell. So a good friend of mine at the time, you know, he was like, he's in the medical field, he'll understand. So I came up with the courage, you know, God gave me the courage to share with Jude that he had sickle cell, and Jude was very supportive. I also shared about, you know, the options that we've been given, which was for her to have the bone marrow transplant with me being the donor. And Jude was very supportive throughout the entire process. In fact, he encouraged me to pursue the transplant for her. And so we went ahead and did that.
Yeah. And kind of add to that. So after we met, when I found out Bella had sickle cell, I was a carrier. I had to get tested just to make sure that I was fine, because there's always a concern that if I were a carrier, then children could potentially also have sickle cell. So I had the test done, which was negative. So that was good news. And so the next step was the transplant. So Evelyn and Bella were in York, Pennsylvania, and I was Chicago area here in Illinois. And so while we were still dating, this was when we started transplant process. So she went into the hospital. This was July of 2015. And basically it started with her getting radiation, chemo treatment to prepare for the transplant. And Evelyn was the donor. So they took the bone marrow from her to transplant to Bella. And she, with the chemo, the treatment, she lost her. And the good news was that she had 100% engraftment from the bone marrow, meaning that the bone marrow was well received in Bella. But the other complication was that even though she engrafted so well with the bone marrow, her body was kind of fighting and rejecting it. So we have something called graft versus host disease, which can happen when you get a transplant, whereby the body is trying to fight off the bone marrow transplant. So she had really probably some of the worst cases of graft versus host disease with a lot of complications. So she was at Johns Hopkins for 4 months after the transplant. And I was working here in the Chicago area. So monthly I would travel back and forth to kind of be there to help and assist with the process. So she was in the hospital for 4 months, and then she was released to the children's home close to the hospital, where she stayed for another 2 months before eventually getting released back to Pennsylvania. So she fought through all these complications. She went through being in ICU, getting intubated. She was so weak that she couldn't walk very well at one point. Eventually she got healed, and thankfully now she doesn't have sickle cell anymore. She just has to treat.
Wow. We thank the good Lord. This is really a medical miracle, but it's also the triumph of love between you two, and how Bella was also embedded and grafted in this love between you two, and with your faith and your trust in God, but also access to this modern medical intervention she pulled through. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Catholic Voices. And today we have the privilege of talking with Dr. Jude and Evelyn Dumfe, a wonderful couple with a wonderful family. And we've been talking about how this family dealt with the news of a family member who had sickle cell, and how through a bone marrow transplant and other forms of therapies, your daughter is no longer a sickle cell carrier. And I know, Dr. Jude, that you are an award-winning internal medicine and pediatrics physician, highly respected in your field. What advice do you have for African families in the African motherland and those abroad who are dealing with this condition, especially who do not have access to these kinds of therapies that you got?
Yes. So it's a very complicated issue. Sickle cell affects the sub-Saharan region, or hits the sub-Saharan region the hardest compared to any part of the world. It's shown that 90% of sickle cell patients reside in three countries: Nigeria, Democratic Republic of Congo, and India. India is a big country. And so the burden is huge, but the resources are very limited. And the life expectancy for sickle cell Here in the U.S. and other Western countries, it's still about 20 years lower than the average person. But even in Africa, it's even less. And I mean, growing up in Ghana, I knew of sickle cell only because you had maybe people in your classmates or people in your school who would miss a lot of school. And you just knew that they had sickle cell, but we didn't know much about the disease. So that the challenge in Africa is limited resources and such a high burden of disease. And how do you cope with that? I think one of the first things that can help is the detection. So the screening, which here it's mandated in the U.S. You have to do the newborn screening test where you can find out if a baby has sickle cell or not. In other parts of the world, in Africa, I don't know how universally the screening is. I'm thinking that certain countries may have screening available, but that is the first step, which helps for parents to know that my son or daughter has sickle cell and take the next steps. And they've developed some new point of care testing, which are faster and more quicker in some of these parts of Africa to help with the detection process. And then after that is education. So for parents who have children with sickle cell is trying to educate yourself as much as you can about the disease. That way you know what symptoms to look out for. So Bella had the pain and swelling in her fingers, which is called dactylitis. It's usually the first sign that shows up for children with sickle cell. So that is something that if you have a newborn with 6 months or a year, within a year, having swelling and pain in your hand, you did not get tested, that may be a clue that there may be something wrong that I need to look into. And also being able to watch out for things like fever. So if your child has a fever, it's not for a regular child, that may be okay, but for sickle cell patient, that could be a sign of something really more serious. So being able to take the child to the hospital, to the clinic to be evaluated, it's one big step. Other more practical things is vaccinations, immunizations. For sickle cell patients, their immune system is depleted because the spleen is affected. And so being able to get regular vaccines is added protection for children with sickle cell. I know here, also Bella was on penicillin, what we call prophylaxis, after she found out she had the sickle cell disease. So that is also an antibiotic that helps protect sickle cell patients from infections. Yeah, you can. Yeah. But it's a big help. And then very simple things like hydration, making sure your child is staying hydrated, lots of fluid will limit some of the complications with pain crises. And there's a medicine that we use here called Hydrea or hydroxyurea, which may or may not be available in all parts of the world, especially in Africa, which has been a big help in helping with some of these complications from sickle cell. So there's a whole range of things kind of to go through, but I think education part helps, and being connected to a hospital, a clinic, and regular follow-ups and checkups do help. Yeah,
thank you, Dr. Jude. But Evelyn, many families in sub-Saharan Africa are poor. The health facilities are not efficient. They don't have the staff. They don't have the stuff. They don't have the therapies that could save the lives of children like Bella. What is your advice? Because all that Dr. Jude has said, you know, testing, early screening, education, checking all these. What happens when, because of health inequity, like they don't have access to this, they can't do it? What advice do you give to these mothers who are struggling with their kids?
My heart really, really goes out to them. In fact, during the process, when people would say, "I'm so sorry that this happened to your daughter," I used to tell them, "I'm just grateful that we are in a country like the United States where she has access to healthcare, to be able to have, you know, a transplant or even monthly transfusions." But my advice to them would be just take advantage of your circle. That's something that I wish I would have done a little bit more during Bella's transplant process, as well as even when she would get transfusions. You know, people would reach out, "Hey, Evelyn, how can I help?" And at that time, I was young and so full of myself, looking back, and I remember thinking, I don't need your help. I don't need to be anybody's chair in case. I can do it by myself. And now looking back, I'm so embarrassed of that because they were genuinely wanting to help. And I wish I would have taken advantage of that a little bit more. So my advice will be just take advantage of your resources, of your circle, whether it's, somebody staying with your other children so that you can take the sick child in for treatment. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Jude and Evelyn. We are entering the Holy Week, and soon we will celebrate Easter, that Jesus is risen from the dead. And listening to you offers me a lot of inspiration about the power of love that both of you show to each other and that you transmit through your very wonderful way of parenting, showing so much love for children. But I think of people who are dying. These people are praying by day and by night for God, for healing. They move from different church to another, looking for healers. Some of them are accused in Nigeria, sickle cell carriers. In those days, we are called abiku because people didn't understand this cycle. So why is it that a child is born to this family, after 2 years, that child dies? Another one comes after 2 years, that one dies. They didn't understand this. They said these are evil children that came. What is your message for Africans?
I would say, first of all, compassion for each other and what these families are going through. And also that also hopefully comes with education, because I think where there is a lack of education, it affects how well we interpret some of these situations. If, yes, like you mentioned, if a family has multiple children passing away, the more we understand about the disease of sickle cell and how serious that can be, the more we are to understand what and empathy for what others are going through. And having compassion for these families and being able to reach out and be a support. If you have a family that has multiple children with sickle cell who have to be taking kids back and forth to the hospital, missing school, and dealing with that, what we can do is to be a support. Can I help provide some support, some assistance for the other children or to the family, and to work with them? Because it's a disease that is very prevalent in our community. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jude and Evelyn Dumfey, for commitment to save so many lives and to be guardians of the lives that in God's own generosity has given to you as parents. As we come to the end of our conversation, we like to invite you to offer a prayer for families as we celebrate Easter.
Thank you, Father. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your healing touch that you've shown to your children, evident by your sacrifice on the cross. And now, even as we enter Holy Week and head towards Easter, we pray for all your children, especially those with sickle cell disease and other very severe health issues, that they will know and feel your healing physically and mentally and spiritually. And pray that you will heal those, that even when we don't get the physical healing that we desire, our spirits will be healed, our souls will be healed, that we will know that whatever we deal with, we go through, that we don't walk alone. I pray that those who are dealing with sickle cell and other severe harmful diseases will know that you walk back with them and that you are the master healer. We thank you. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Jude and Evelyn, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for being a part of this episode. Until we see you next week for another fresh episode of African Catholic Voices, we ask you to be strong in your faith, to be faithful and fervent in your love, to be courageous in hope. Take good care of your lives. Take good care of the lives of your brothers and sisters. Together, let us take care of this world, this Africa, and this church that God has given us. God bless you. Bye.
Consolateur.